The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Flypod.com. I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Today we have the author Shelley Shepherd Gray. She's back in. She's got book number two, Ray of Light of the Days of Redemption series. Shelley, welcome back.
Thank you, Mark. I'm so happy to be here.
All right, now we see old friends in this book, right? Who do we see?
You know, you see the whole Keim family of Berlin and Holmes County, Ohio, and it's a continuation of their family drama. But I will have to say that this book can stand alone. It's basically the romance between Roman Keim and a lady he meets in Siesta Key, Florida. Her name is Amanda, and she's a widow. And Roman actually goes down to Siesta Key or Pinecraft, which is the Amish snowbird community near Sarasota, Florida, as kind of a getaway from his family. And he happens to fall in love. And wouldn't you know, he's trying to get away from family drama, and he ends up having a little bit drama of his own.
You know, when I think about the Amish, I really don't think of a snowbird city where they get away, where it's warm. Such a place?
You know, there is such a place, and it was such a surprise to me when I was first visiting with my Amish friends. They showed me a brochure, and it's of bus tours, and the Amish love to travel just as much as anyone else. They like to go everywhere. When I first met my Amish friend, she had just come back from a three-week vacation with her husband. They toured the whole western part of the United States, even riding in dune buggies on the beach in California.
Now, did they have to be black dune buggies?
I don't think so. I think they enjoy dune buggies of all colors. It's fun. A little side note, she did show me her scrapbook of her trip, and it's all postcards. There's no pictures, of course, of any Amish. But one of the more usual vacations for the Amish is to head down south. Just like many people in the Midwest, they too get tired of the cold. I imagine they might even get more tired of the cold since a lot of their homes, you know, don't have a lot of heat. They don't have electricity. They're used to very dark, long nights because they don't have lights on in the house. So everyone heads down. There's many bus companies that they do a all-night bus service straight down to Pinecraft. And I've been just so intrigued by that. And I knew as soon as I heard about this community, I really wanted to set at least part of a book there. And it was a really fun change of pace. Instead of being in a farm, I got to set many of my scenes on the beach in Florida.
And you actually went there to check this out?
Actually, I have not been there, but I happen to know of a lady. Her name is Sherry Gore. She is Anabaptist, and she actually is a cookbook author, and she lives there. And so she answered a lot of questions. I also talked with my Amish friends about all their experiences at Pinecraft. I'm hoping in the future to set a whole series there, and if that becomes a reality, I will definitely tell my husband, gosh, we have to go to Florida to do a little research trip. I have a feeling he will definitely want to come on this one.
Shelley, when I think of the Amish, I think of the buggies, the black buggies, the horses. Different orders of Amish, I guess, believe different things. So the people that go to Florida, are they the old order, new order? Maybe they all go.
You know, they all do go, and it's kind of a melting pot of different Amish communities. They'll have Amish from all the way up in Canada, all across the Midwest. You know, wherever there are Amish, they too like to vacation. And I have a feeling, even though I haven't exactly asked this question, I think they enjoy visiting with Amish of other communities and just, you know, seeing what they all have in common and what some of their different communities might make them different, or their other interests or beliefs. I have heard that, you know, they really look forward to having their vacation friends, and many families, Amish families, visit every single year.
Do Mennonites also go there? I mean, is it kind of a mixed blend? And what happens if they do, Mennonite and maybe an Old Order Amish get together? Would it be almost like an Englishman and a Amish woman getting together?
You know, I think... you know, as far as getting together, do you mean like a romance? Or,
yeah,
even
getting, taking it to get married.
You know, I think it's the same as any other group that maybe if you're falling in love out of someone that doesn't have quite the same religious beliefs that your family believes in, there might be a little bit of concern on both sides. I know I've definitely set many romances where a man might fall in love with a woman who is English or Mennonite and vice versa. It's a popular theme in Amish novels for sure. I know that down in Pinecraft, you know, they look forward to visiting with friends of all different beliefs. And just like my Amish friends in Sugar Creek, they really enjoy friendships with people of all religions. I know I've gone out to dinner with a group of Amish, and I'm just Shelley, and we're talking about kids and recipes, and of course all the women, after we're eating pie, we're saying, gosh, we should lose another 5 pounds. It's just fun. It's just, we're all the same. We may be dressing a little bit differently, but we all have a lot of the same problems when you've been married for a while and have kids and grandkids and all kinds of things.
Shelley, in this book, Ray of Light, you have quite the challenge here, telling at least 3 stories, intertwining them throughout the book. You have maybe a secret that is now found out, and people just can't believe what they're hearing. You have kind of a romance going on with a widowed Amish lady and a young strapping buck in Florida. And then you have another story, in a sense, where the guy, I think, is in Belize. He's a missionary, and he's looking forward to bringing his wife to South America.
You know, and that was one of my favorite strands of the book to write. Not that I've ever been a missionary in a foreign country, but I could identify a lot with Viola. I am one of those people that if it sounds like a great idea, I say, yes, I'd love to do this. And then sometimes I wonder about the consequences. And I really felt with her character when I was writing this. She had fallen in love. She knew that going to Belize as a missionary's wife was going to be the right thing to do, but it wasn't her calling, and she had real concerns about being the type of woman for her fiancé, Ed, that she had hoped to be. And as it might happen with many of us, when you're thrown into a new situation, there's a little bit of growing pains. And given that, you know, she had never traveled anywhere, she really was experiencing not only a new country, a new way of life, a new group of people, a new language. It would be jarring for anyone, but I imagined it would be very jarring for a small town Amish gal. And she had some time. She had a time of it. I mean, she kind of embarrassed herself, but it turned out, in my opinion at least, that it was the best thing that could possibly happen.
You know, just thinking about the different stories in here, it's kind of cool. I just thought, well, that is kind of cool that here is a missionary working in South America writing to his fiancée that he can't wait for her to come out. After they're finished with building the houses or whatever they do, they go to the beach and they watch the sun set in the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Yet on the other side, in Florida, you have the two that are almost falling in love, I think, watching the sun come up.
Yeah, you know, I had a lot of fun with the title of the book. The two things I always do when I work on a novel is I come up with a scripture verse and the title. And my editor knows by now I've written, I think I just turned in my 20th manuscript to her, that having a title is very important. And Ray of Light is, there's many plays on that throughout the whole book, whether it's people being another ray of light to someone, whether it's God being a ray of light in someone's life, or whether it's the sun either rising or falling in their life, which would be figuratively, or literally the sun's coming up. So I tried not to hit people on the head too much with that visual, but I definitely enjoyed the play of it. It made a lot of really gratifying writing days for me.
So if you pick up Ray of Light and you're reading this, I mean, try to find out how many references you can find, hey?
I hope so. I would enjoy that. I mean, you know, it wasn't always a just real thoughtful thing. I just happened to be writing it, and lo and behold, in my mind, you know, they were watching the sunrise or the sunset. But I will have to say, I wrote much of this book when it was very cold. And I think that's one of the reasons I had so many scenes on the beach or outside, and they're talking about, you know, the sand between their toes. It just sounded like such a great place to be instead of in my basement, you know, wearing a couple of sweaters and some big heavy socks. You know, it was just a nice place to imagine being on the beach and nice and warm.
You know, talking about the beach, Ray of Light, would you consider this a beach read?
You know, I hope so. I think it is very much a vacation read. I have written several Amish novels. Some have darker settings and situations than others. I'm happy to say that Ray of Light is one of my more positive books. I think many of the characters are just coming into themselves, and they are realizing their place in the world, and they see a lot of hope where maybe they hadn't seen hope before. And so in that sense, I would imagine if I was on vacation, it would be a great book to pick up. I sure wouldn't want to read a depressing book on the beach. This one definitely is not. It's a very positive book in a lot of ways.
Shelley, how many books are there going to be in this series?
This book is a trilogy. So the next book is called Eventide. It's going again on the whole day theme. And it comes out in September. And it is kind of finishing up all the drama that's been going on in the Keim family. I am about to start. I have not even written it yet. But next year at Christmas, there'll be a Christmas novella, which is just my regular routine, that it will be take place 1 year after Eventide. And it'll be kind of summing up and a new little story, what happens next with the Keim family. But as far as the many storylines that continue on through this trilogy, in Eventide, I can promise that every little detail is wrapped up neatly by the time the last character goes to bed at the end of the series.
Shelley, I know you do a lot of work with the Amish, finding out if things happen this way in a sense, and I know that they just love your books, also in Amish country. What is Christmas like on an Amish farm?
You know, something that you might notice right away about Christmas and on an Amish farm or an Amish home is there's no decorations. There's no Christmas lights, Christmas tree, wreath on the door. That said, it is very much filled with the spirit of Christmas. One thing someone might be surprised is that to find out is that the Amish love sending Christmas cards. And I don't know if any of your listeners still do this, but, you know, for me, I still hand write out the addresses. I've never figured out how to get them all in my computer and push the right button. But, you know, I know my Amish friends, I mean, they just have a huge address book. They send, that's their big way of communicating with all their extended family and friends. So it's not unusual for the Amish to send out 200 Christmas cards, all with a note inside, and updating the family on the things that have been going on this year. So that is something that you might see in an Amish household at Christmas. They display their friends' Christmas cards predominantly through the house. They might be hung around the mantle. They might be in a bowl. It's just a really fun thing to see in an Amish house. They also bake a lot of Christmas cookies, which is always a wonderful excuse for me to go see my Amish friends, because I'll bring her something which, you know, is never as good as hers. And several times she's given me a tray of Christmas cookies, which are just absolutely beautiful and delicious.
Nothing else, that's a great reason to go out, right?
That's exactly right.
Ray of Light. A book like this in the Redemption series, and the first one, how long does it take to write something like this from the beginning, which would be the thought, to the printed page?
You know, I was just thinking about this because just last week I turned in Hopeful, and it took me quite a while to write that book. And I was talking with my editor about it, and she said, Shelley, it always takes you a lot longer to write that first book. That's what we expect. And it does. It takes me a while to set up all the themes that are going to be going through three books. So for the first book, it might take me, you know, as far as writing every day, not too long, maybe three and a half months at the most. It takes me quite a bit of thinking and thought time and planning before that. For a book like Ray of Light, which is smack dab in the middle of a series, not very long. Maybe I can get out a rough draft in 2 months. I write every day. I write 6 days a week, and I actually really enjoy it. My husband always teases me, saying, you know, if he got to retire and not said he couldn't work, he'd be so happy. He'd be playing golf every day. If someone told me, Shelley, well, you can't write anymore, I would be very depressed. It is what makes me happy. I was actually on vacation with my daughter last weekend, and she slept in. She's 20 and in college, so y'all know what that's like. And I got up every morning at 7 and wrote. When she was ready to be up, I was ready to have fun too, because I had kind of gotten my creative energy out. So
when you get up to write, is it like first thing in the morning, maybe after a cup of coffee or something, and for X amount of hours, or...
I actually write pages. I have this silly little system where I have to write about 10 pages a day, and I actually write them on a scrap sheet of paper. And as I finish off each page, I write a little X through it. And everyone in the house knows, you know, I won't do much until I get my pages done. And, you know, my son's home from college right now, and he was wanting to go to lunch with me yesterday, and he popped in, and he just looked on my desk and counted X's, and he's like, so you got three more to go, huh? And I said, yep. I said, give me about an hour, and then I'll be ready. Sometimes I can get the things done in a couple hours. If the book's not going very well, I might be there all day. But usually for a middle book in a series, I can get it done pretty well, because I've planned a lot. I know everyone in the book. I know where they're going. They're all kind of talking in my head. We're just ready to get that story on paper.
You want to ever just tell them to shut up?
No, if they did shut up, I think I'd be really sad. I'd be like, uh-oh, now what am I going to do? It's just me, and I'm not very interesting.
Shelley, how many words are there in 10 pages?
You know, the rule of thumb is they're usually about 250 words on a page. So about 4 pages is 1,000 words. My Amish romances are really not that long, not like some other genres where they're 1,000-page books. These books are only about 62 to 65,000 words, which I usually turn in a book. It's almost always about 340 pages. I've got it down to a pretty good pat. By the time we do revisions and things, that changes a little bit, but that's usually my rule of thumb.
Your memory must be pretty good with the setting of everything, or do you have to go back when you start that next book just to reread maybe what you did and where you have what?
You know, I think I have a pretty good memory, but I've been told by many editors, copy editors at my publisher, that I actually don't have a very good memory. I don't think a lot about the details. I am terrible about remembering what color people's eyes are. I just don't think about that. I'm far more interested in their thoughts and what they want to do and why they want to do something. I could tell you all about, you know, what happened when they were 6 and they got in a fight with their brother, because that's important to me. But as far as remembering that they have blonde curly hair and blue eyes, a lot of times I forget. This next series for next year, it's actually called Return to Sugar Creek, and it is set in the same place where a series I wrote a couple of years ago called Seasons of Sugar Creek, and it features some of the same characters. And I thought it would be easier to write because I'm revisiting a place I've already made up. But I'm telling you what, it was a bit of a struggle. I had to read all those books again and go dig out my notebook. I have a big notebook for every series, and I write all the notes down and try to keep everybody in place. So I had to go dig that out and get reacquainted with this series. So it takes a little bit of time to try and make sure I don't have too many mistakes. That said, I seem to always have a mistake, and readers have been not shy about telling me about it.
You have maps on your walls or anything of where the farms are and everything?
I've done that before. These books I haven't, although maybe I should, actually. When I wrote my mystery series, the one set, The Secrets of Crittenden County, the whole series took place in 8 weeks, and I had to have calendars out with what happened per hour every day, just because each book took place in 2.5 weeks, and I had to keep all those details correct. And because it was an investigation, I had detectives roaming around, and I had to make sure if it was a 1 hour walk somewhere that was actually, you know, could conceivably happen. So that took quite a bit of time trying to make sure everything made sense.
A mystery as opposed to more of, would you call this an inspirational love type story book?
Yeah, I would call it that. You know, I was thinking it was more of a family drama, and actually I wasn't sure if readers were going to like it. It seemed a little like a lot of people had a lot of problems in this book, but thankfully it seems like people are really enjoying the Keim family and life in Holmes County. Something that people have told me about these Amish books is that they come off as realistic, that these Amish folks are having problems just like they've experienced sometimes in their house. Maybe not everybody's keeping terrible secrets for 40 years, but their life is not always perfect and where everything goes as planned. And I know I've got a wonderful husband and kids, but we've even had our share of difficulties through 25 years. And so I try to keep that in the forefront in my books and make these Amish folks seem like, you know, they have some struggles too.
So which genre do you like to write better? More the mystery or more something like the Ray of Light?
I would imagine that something like The Ray of Light is better for me, just because I've had a lot of experience writing romances over the years. I've written for other publishers. I think I've written over 40 books, and writing a romance just comes fairly natural to me. I'm currently also writing a historical romance set in Chicago in 1893 for Zondervan. And it is all set against the World's Fair, and it's kind of a suspense. So it's been fun writing that. I did enjoy writing a mystery. I love reading mysteries, but because I'm not as detail oriented as I would think the average mystery writer, it's easier for me to write a romance.
All right, Ray of Light, of course, book number 2 in the Days of Redemption. 40 books, that's a lot of books. Can I call you a ghostwriter on any of those?
No. Nope. I've just really enjoyed it. And I've told many people this. I used to be a sixth grade teacher. I spent my day with 12-year-olds, and I did love teaching sixth grade. But I will have to say, teaching is a very hard job. It is difficult. You've got a lot of personalities and a lot of information. And, you know, it's just difficult to keep 30 some odd people happy 7 hours a day. So for me to get to go down to my office and make stuff up and I get to write it, it just is a dream come true. It definitely does not ever feel like work to me. I feel very, very thankful.
Shelley, if I want to find out more about The Ray of Light, The Days of Redemption, maybe about 40 other books, where could I go?
You know, I hope people will feel free to visit my website. It's at www.shelleyshepherdgray.com. And I do try and post regularly on my website, but if someone's really interested and seeing what I'm up to, they should find me on Facebook. I'm very active on my Facebook page. Actually, yesterday when I wasn't writing, I was making cookies and for my son. So I was posting pictures of the cookies and talking about them and their peanut butter monster cookies. And, so, I mean, if someone was really interested in anything I'm doing, and we also give away a lot of books on Facebook, I hope they'll visit me there. Shelley Shepherd Gray.
You don't give away monster peanut butter cookies on Facebook, huh?
I probably should. I've been eating too many. It's not a good thing.
Well, the book is Ray of Light. What a fun book by Shelley Shepherd Gray. I mean, whether you're up in the parts of Ohio with the Amish or South America or even Florida, there are a lot of places to visit in Ray of Light. And a great story, too, that goes along with them. Shelley, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure visiting with you, always.
You've been listening to Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt, along with Shelley Shepherd Gray, author of her brand new book in the Days of Redemption series, Ray of Light. To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.